Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
This last week, I had a little thing. I was trying to get something done on my phone. And you know, I went to do one thing and it told me I needed an update on another thing. And so then I was trying to get that done and it wasn't happening as quick as I wanted it to happen. And then it gave me a notification that said, it's not gonna finish this until you get connected to Wi-Fi. And I started getting myself all worked up and all frustrated over how long this was taking. It was taking like a whole 10 minutes to get this process sorted out. And then I started remembering over the course of my lifetime, when we used to have to get on dial-up internet. Some of y'all remember, some of y'all don't know about that. It made that terrible noise. I was gonna try and imitate it, but I don't think I can do it. I hear some of you doing it though, you know, because it's seared in your brain. As soon as you hear a, you're like, is somebody getting on dial-up right now? And it would take forever even just to connect to the internet. And what I remember most about dial-up internet is that you would be on it. So I was a teenager when we had dial-up. I would be on the internet and all of a sudden one of my parents would come up and be like, you have to get off the internet now. And you had to get off the internet now because why? Because they needed to use the phone. And you can't be on the internet and be on the phone at the same time. I literally just saw a 20-year-old look at somebody next to them like, what is she talking about? I know. It was crazy. But if you wanted to be on the internet and they wanted to make a phone call, these two things could not happen at the same time because the internet tied up the line. And when the line was tied up to the internet, no calls, no messages could come in or out on that line because it was all tied up. Amen. It was a terrible time to be so tied up, so bound in our limitations. And the thing is that I think so many of us live that way in our souls. That we're so connected to one thing that we've become tied up on the inside. And when we became tied up on the inside because of this one thing, because of the something that was said, because of the disappointment, it ties up our faith. And I don't know how to move forward anymore. Because I'm so tied up to how I thought this was going to work out. Because I'm so tied up in who I thought that person was going to be. Because I'm so tied up in the picture that I had for this season of my life. And I want to talk to us today as we continue in our series from the topic, I'm all tied up. Will you turn with me once again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11, starting in verse 17, says, and by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. There are moments that God comes to test the quality of what he's been building in your life. Abraham was tested. He offered up Isaac and he received the promise. And yet he was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it had been said, your offspring will be traced through
Isaac. See, Isaac is the promise, but he's not the full fulfillment of the promise. Because every promise and every word that God gives requires more than one generation for its fulfillment. Isaac is a promise that was received by Abraham and Sarah, but the fulfillment of the promise is that the offspring will flow through Isaac as well. It's not enough just that Abraham has received Isaac. It's also about what's next and who's next. Then it says, he considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, him being Isaac, figuratively speaking, and by faith, Isaac, by faith, Abraham, and now by faith, Isaac, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to read a few verses of scripture out of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is when we get the account of what Hebrews just referred to. Genesis 22, starting in verse 1, it says, "And after these things, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he answered. And he said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering.'" Say a burnt offering. "On one of the mountains that I will tell you about." Abraham got up early in the morning and he saddled his donkey and he took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for the burnt offering and he set out to go to the place that God had told him about. And on the third day, say third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, and then we'll come back to you." And then Isaac spoke to his father. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked together. And then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, my son." And Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We are missing something." And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And then the two of them walked on together. Just a few more verses. When they arrived at the place that he had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. It's not the point of today's message, but can I tell you that altars are not found and altars are not discovered. Altars have to be built. Altars are built to be places of worship where people who hunger after God come to encounter him. It says Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and he placed him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he replied, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy and do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from him, from me." And Abraham looked up and he saw the ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Father God, we thank you for your living word. I thank you that it has life for us for today, that it has meaning for us for today. I ask you to speak through me here in public what you've spoken to me in private, and let it form us and change us and make us more like you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is yet another moment in the story of Abraham's great faith. Abraham is a man of faith, and Abraham is referred to often as the father of faith. The whole story that we get of Abraham's life is series after series of God speaking to Abraham and calling Abraham into deeper levels of trusting in him, of walking with him, of abiding with him. And once again, now that Abraham has received his son Isaac, we see God coming to Abraham again and saying to him in language that so parallels his first calling. He says, Abraham, I need you to get up and I need you to go to the land of Moriah and I need you to go to a place that I will show you. It tells me about Abraham's life, and it tells me about my own life, and it tells me about your life, that the life of walking in faith and that the journey of following God in faith is not a journey that we age out of. It's not a series of our development that we outgrow. It's not part of the Christian walk that we learn and then move forward from, but that all the way at the end of Abraham's life, still God was coming to him and telling him, I need you to get up and to follow me to a place. And the place that we're going, I'm not going to all the way tell you. Part of it you're going to learn along the way. I find encouragement and discouragement at the same time in this. I find encouragement in knowing that I'm not crazy when I have found myself in moments and in seasons where I'm like, God, are we still doing this? Where you're asking me to step out and do things without all of the instructions and all of the details? I find discouragement in it because there is part of me that wishes that there would come a season in my life where I could say, look, God, I've done that faith part where we step out in faith, where we don't know where we're going and we go into the unseen thing. And it seems like we've done that and now we can do the part where you give me all of the details. Don't we kind of do that as we get older in life, as we grow in our faith walk, as we mature in the way that we approach God? There's a part of us that feels entitled to know more about what's going on now. God, I did that faith thing. God, I did that part where I walked in the unknown space. God, I did the thing where you asked me to get out of the boat and walk into the waters. We've done that part of the journey, God. Now, where's the part where you just email me the details and I upload it and we get on and follow the way? But apparently, that's not how it works. Because once again, here comes Abraham towards the end of his life. And God is saying to Abraham, yet again, I need you to get up and do something that you never thought I would ask you to do. And I need you to go somewhere and I'm going to show you which mountain on the way. You'll know it when you see it, Abraham. But once again, Abraham is astonishing with his obedience. God says to Abraham, go get your son, your only son, the one who you love. He is clarifying and nailing down for him the fact that, yes, I know about Ishmael, but Abraham, you and I know that the thing that I want from you, the thing that I'm asking you of, the thing that I'm requiring of you is not the thing that you created out of your own force and out of your own hand and manufactured. The thing that I want from you is the thing that divinely came through your life that you know is a symbol of my trustful, faithful hand in your life. Abraham, go get that son and bring him, and we're going to go sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountain. And it says Abraham gets up early the next morning. Immediately, Abraham obeys and responds. It is to me one of the marked factors of Abraham's life of faith is that God speaks and Abraham responds. Not slowly, quickly, immediately, without argument, without protest, without delay. It makes me wonder how many moments I've missed out on with God. Because I wanted to figure it out on the way. Because I wanted to understand it before I moved. Because I had some follow-up questions that I would like some clarification on, Lord, before we get on the road. God, you said that Isaac was going to be the one that my offspring came through. And so I'm willing to go along, but I just need to know, how is it that my offspring is still going to come through Isaac if you're asking me to go send him up on a mountain and sacrifice? God, I just need some clarifying. I'm on board. I just need you to answer a few questions first. But Abraham asks none of that. Abraham obeys God. He gets up, gathers his son, and he chops the wood, and he loads it up, and he gets two servants, and they go, and they head to the mountain, and they walk for 3 days, where Isaac will be offered as a burnt offering. A burnt offering is an offering where everything that is laid on the altar is consumed. Where everything that is laid as a sacrifice is consumed and is left on the altar. It's not one of those sacrifices. You know, there were times where there was a sacrifice that would be made and the animal would be slaughtered, but portions of the sacrifice would come back and would feed the priest or would feed the people. Parts of the sacrifice would be returned to you again, but a burnt offering is an offering that's laid on the altar and is consumed by the fire. None of this offering is coming back to you. All of this offering is going to remain on the altar. And God says to Abraham, I'm not talking about an offering where you're going to get to carry part of this back with you. I'm not talking about an offering that's going to give you a halfway commitment to this thing. I want a burnt, all-consuming fire offering on the altar. And listen to the faith of Abraham. Abraham, Hebrews tells us, reasons in himself. Genesis tells us, two times, Abraham speaks in faith, even though he doesn't know what's coming. He says to the servants as he leaves them at the bottom of the mountain, they head up the mountain, and Abraham says to the servants, wait here. The boy and I are going to go up the mountain to sacrifice, and then we will return. We will return to you. What kind of faith is this? That Abraham is getting ready to walk up a mountain to offer his son as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering sacrifice. By all reason and logic, he has nothing that he is bringing back with him except for heartache and sorrow. Yet he says to them, we will return to you. And they get about halfway up that mountain. And Isaac says, seems like we're missing something, Dad. And Abraham says to Isaac, the Lord himself will provide. They're walking and they still don't have what they need. You have to think, have you ever been on a faith walk with God? And you're walking and you're like, God, it's getting closer. God, that deadline is closer today than it was yesterday. And God's like, I know when the deadline is.
I just checking in if you know how far we are in the journey, God. I have to imagine that Abraham, every step that he takes up that mountain is like, God, we're getting closer to the top. God, we're getting a little bit closer to the spot. God, do you know where we're heading right now? Yet he still says to Isaac, the Lord himself will provide. Abraham has a kind of faith that has gotten deep on the inside of him. He has a kind of faith that so trusts in God that he has figured, he has found a way to reason in himself. God, this doesn't make any sense to me, what we're doing right now. God, I'm not sure how to reconcile the thing that you promised me and the thing that I see being walked out right now. But it says he reasoned in himself that God is able to even raise Isaac back up from the dead. It tells me about my faith journey that I can walk with God, that I can find trust in his character because of the ways he has proven himself before, and I can still get it wrong. Abraham had a guess at what God was going to do. Abraham figured the way God is going to sort this situation out is that I'm going to have to go all the way through with this sacrifice, but God is going to raise Isaac on the other side of it. Have you ever gotten yourself involved in figuring out how God's going to sort a situation out on your behalf? How many times have you gotten that right? About as many times as Abraham did. Because God always has a way that is different than the way that you were expecting. And God always has a way that's beyond what we could have imagined. And God always has something that's coming up the other side of the mountain that I can't yet see while I'm just walking by faith a little bit higher and a little bit closer to the unknown place that he told me he was walking me to. Yet I have learned to walk with him. Yet Abraham had learned to walk with him in such a way that Abraham's wasn't tied up in his emotion about what was happening. Abraham wasn't tied up in his entitlement to staying in the line with his family or to hearing what God's plans were ahead of time. Abraham wasn't tied up in what he was going to tell people and how he was going to explain this to Sarah when he got home. Abraham wasn't tied up in any of that. He was tied up in who God is and who God has proven himself to be. Abraham had long ago tied up himself to the fact that, God, I will follow your steps and I will follow your way and I will follow your leading for all the days of my life. So if you say move left, I'm gonna move left. And if you say move right, I'm gonna move right, God, because I have already decided. There are some decisions that have already been made in my life. It was a long time ago that I said yes to you, Jesus. And it was a long time ago that I said I decided to get on your path. And it was a long time ago that I said, lead me in your way everlasting. And it was a long time ago that I determined that your ways are better than my ways. It was a long time ago that I said, if you say move, then I guess I'm moving. Even when it doesn't make any kind of sense. Abraham is a man of faith. And as impressive as that is, as astounding as it is, I already know about Abraham that Abraham is a man of faith. Abraham's story has already proven to us that he trusts in God. What I'm interested in is Isaac. Isaac is a young man coming up. Isaac is a young man who's getting ready to step into the next space, the next place of authority that God has for him.
I know many of our translations translate the word as boy or as lad. It's maybe not the best translation. It's a really broad word that can be used to mean basically any young person. Scholars generally land on that Isaac was somewhere between 25 and 37 years old. Rabbinic tradition places him around 37. Josephus, the historian, places him around 25. The point is, he wasn't like a little boy. This was a man in his prime physical years. Some 40-year-old was just like, I'm still tough. I know, you're fresh, but I'm just saying, you're on the tilting side. We have a men's night. Abraham is not. Abraham is in his latter years. If you recall, Abraham was not a spring chicken when we were introduced to him in the story. And it's been a few decades since then. A couple chapters from now, we are going to hear about Abraham's passing and Isaac coming into the role of patriarch for this family of faith. We will come to say that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is something in Isaac that is being grown, that is being formed, that is being deposited, because Isaac is getting ready to step into something new. He's moving into a new place and a new role. And I know that this is about the testing of Abraham, but I would offer that it is also about the testing of Isaac. Because we are halfway up the mountain, and Isaac starts looking around and going, we're missing a sheep. Now, it tells me about Isaac that Isaac knows something about worship. It tells me about Isaac that Isaac has been trained in how to sacrifice. That this isn't the first time in Isaac's life that he's built an altar and worshiped before the Lord. It tells me about the relationship between Abraham and Isaac that something has happened along the journey of their life where Abraham has demonstrated to Isaac how it is we worship before God, how it is we serve before God, how it is we offer up hands before God, how it is we enter into his courts with praise. It is necessary for two generations to be worshiping at the same time so that an older generation can demonstrate to a younger generation, this is the way that we do this thing. This is the way that we come and offer sacrifice before God. It tells me about Isaac that he knows about coming to worship God because he knows when something's missing. I am concerned sometimes that we become so good at certain parts of the way that we perform our worship that we're raising a generation that doesn't know when something's missing, that they don't recognize a lack of sacrifice in worship, that worship is more than my song. That worship is more than the instrument. That worship is more than even just a posture. That there has to be sacrifice in my worship. And Isaac knows that the sacrifice is missing. Isaac also knows Abraham. And he knows about Abraham that he is a little unhinged sometimes. Because he is so sold out on this obedience to God thing that Isaac knows about Abraham that he will do whatever he hears God say. Isaac was there
when Abraham sent Ishmael and Hagar into the desert and said, away. Because God said, it's time for you to go away. Abraham and Isaac have been at this thing for a while, which means that Isaac knows about Abraham that he is not more tied up to his emotions, that he has tied himself to faithfulness to God to such a degree and to such an extent that Isaac is walking up this mountain like, I saw what happened to Ishmael. What's going on right now? And the only answer he gets is the Lord will provide. And so Abraham takes the wood and he puts it on Isaac's back. And Isaac carries this wood all the way up the mountain. And they get to the top of the mountain and they build the altar. And then it says that Abraham bound Isaac and he placed him on the altar. Without struggle, without fight, without bickering, without argument, there is no account that Isaac fought this thing. Instead, it says that he bound him up. The word therefore bound him up, it means that he took a rope and he tied up Isaac's feet. And he took a rope and he tied up Isaac's hands and he laid him on the altar. Because this test is about Abraham, but this test is also about Isaac. Isaac is getting ready to become the next father of faith. Isaac is getting ready to have a blessing on him that he will pass even to a next generation. Isaac is getting ready to step into having his own wife. He's getting ready to step into having his own household. He's getting ready to step into a famine where he's going to have to dig some wells on his own. Isaac is getting ready to step into something where he's going to have to access a faith that doesn't just say, I know the God of my fathers, but says, I know my God who is with me. And for Isaac to step into that, he has to get tied up and laid on the altar. He lays himself on the altar. He lays down willingly on the altar because this is moving from the thing that Abraham did to becoming the thing that Isaac does as well. And I believe that there is a generation that is rising up that says, I'm willing to lay down on the altar. I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to live a life of sacrifice. God, my hands are tied up to whatever you direct them to. God, my feet are tied up to wherever you want to walk them into and wherever you want to step me into. And Isaac lays out on the altar and says, God, use me if this is how you have to use me. God, I trust you with my whole life. God, I don't understand why it came to this moment, but my hope is in you, and my faith is in you, and my trust is in you. Isaac steps into a new reality of who God is, not by what he first receives from God, but by what he first lays down before God. God is calling for some of us to lay some things before him, and we're so distracted by what we're waiting to receive from his hand that we haven't yet laid down the thing that he's asking of us. We haven't yet said, God, take my whole life. God, take all of me. God, you can have it. God, consume me with an all-consuming fire. We're just still looking. God, where's the thing that I'm asking for? God, where's the thing that I'm praying for? And God's like, there's no space for it because you're still so consumed with you. You're still so filled up with you. You're still trying to make your own plans. You're still putting your hands all over it. But like Isaac, I believe there's some people who are getting ready to lay down on the altar and say, God, I just want to live a life laid before you. God, I just want to live a life pleasing and acceptable. Isaac gets tied up and he gets laid on the altar.
And just as Abraham raises his knife and goes to sacrifice Isaac, the voice of the angel of the Lord comes and says, Abraham, Abraham, hold up. Just as Isaac is laying tied up on the altar, there's a ram that's gotten caught, that's gotten tied up in a bush. And God says, now I know that you were willing to give it all. And so now the Lord provides a sacrifice in place of Isaac. It says they untie Isaac and they bring him off of the altar and they replace him with an animal to go in his stead. They lay it out before the Lord and they offer it up as a burnt sacrifice before him. This would become the practice of the people of God for centuries, to go to altars. And because sin required a sacrifice, because worship requires a sacrifice, because there must be atonement for our sin, they would lay an animal before the altar and they would offer it up in the place of the sins of the people. Until the day when there would come one who would remove the animals from the altar and would become the eternal sacrifice in its place. Hebrews tells us that the sacrifice of Isaac is a foreshadow for us of the sacrifice of Jesus. That in the same way that Abraham laid Isaac on that altar, in the same way that Isaac willingly laid down in that place and was brought back figuratively off of the altar, there would come one who would in the same way put his wooden cross on his back and march his way up a mountain step by step and willingly lay on that altar of a cross, but this time the spear would not be spared from him. It would come and death would inflict him and death would overcome him. But after 3 more days, death would not overcome him. And this time, not figuratively would he be returned to them, but in every sense, he would be returned to them as a living God, as the one who is fully flesh and fully man, who came willingly and earnestly to lay down his life as a replacement for us who should have been on the altar, for the animal who went in our stead, and then he came to be in the place of that animal that no sacrifice would ever need to be made again. The book of Romans tells us that just like Abraham, God did not withhold even his only son, that he came and became our sacrifice, that Jesus came and willingly he laid down his life on the altar, willingly he poured out his blood, willingly he went into the grave, and then he rose again. And it says that when he rose again, he showed himself to the disciples and he showed himself to others. And then he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying on behalf of you and of me. That Jesus sits interceding on our behalf. I'm going to ask you to stand right now across this room, because our lives begin to be untied from the things that hold us and the things that bind us when we willingly give our lives to Jesus. He is the one who has broken every chain. He is the one who has unbound us from all sin, from the pain of death and the grave. He is the one who has unshackled us from heartbreak and heaviness and the sins that try to so easily ensnare us. He is the one. Jesus. Jesus who is trustworthy. Jesus who is always faithful. Jesus who is always good. Jesus who is worthy of my whole life is now interceding on your behalf. And I believe that in this moment, he's interceding on behalf of those who are getting ready to say yes to a life with him. That some people are getting ready to step into a place of saying, God, I want to walk with you for all the days of my life. As believers, what we can do in this moment is join heaven in intercession, because there is a battle waging against the life of those who are getting ready to step into life with Christ and believe that heaven is prevailing. I believe that heaven is winning. I believe that people are saying yes to Jesus today. If that's you and you know you're saying, yes, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I want to invite Jesus into my life today. Just slide your hand straight up in the air. Hands are raised, love. I see you guys in the balcony. Keep them straight up. Come on, hands are going up straight in the air. Hands that are saying, today is my day to become a follower of Jesus. Today is my day to get in a right relationship with him. All of heaven is calling you home into relationship with God. It's a good day to become a follower of Jesus. Amen. All right, church, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father God, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe in you. I believe in your life. I believe in your death. I believe in your burial. I believe in your resurrection. And I want to follow you for all of the days of my life. Holy Spirit, help me walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Church, let's celebrate those people who said yes to Jesus today. It's a good day in the house.